Well, please join me again this morning in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 13, again, this will be our third Sunday on this one chapter. We have observed in John's vision that there are two beasts spoken of in this 13th chapter. One rises up out of the sea, the other rises up out of the earth. That first beast that rises up out of the sea, out of the Mediterranean, it is both a world empire, the final world empire, a revived version of a previous world empire, that empire of Rome. It is at the same time, the beast rising up out of the sea is a man. The figurehead. The emperor, the last emperor of that final world empire. We know him as the Antichrist, man of sin, son of perdition. So there is that beast that represents both an empire and the man who leads the empire, together with a second beast. That's our focus here this morning. We read, last Lord's Day, with verse 6, and he opened his mouth to in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Verse 7 says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is given a degree of power. It was given to him to make war with the saints. So who are these saints that he makes war with and prevails against? Well, you need to know it's not the church of whom our Lord Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church I build on the rock of the revelation of who Christ is. The church isn't the saints that the Antichrist makes war against. But who are these saints? Well, they are A, the chosen people, Israel, and B, the tribulation saints. These people, the Antichrist makes war with them and prevails against them to refuse to go with the program is to earn a death sentence in those days that are yet ahead. Well, it's probably not difficult for you now to understand that all through the history of the world, power has always sort of concentrated to the few. We have lived our entire history of humanity under the reign of kings. Something exceptional happened 2.5 centuries ago, and it was a result of the knowledge of this book. It was the result of a spiritual revival. A spiritual revival caused power to be broken and spread out to the many. I say to you again, that only happened because of a spiritual revival. The United States Constitution, America itself, happened because of the Protestant Reformation, because of the Great Awakening. Biblical understanding that humanity are sinners. That our biggest problem is sin, and sin makes us corruptible, and if you give too much power to anyone, and they're corruptible, then power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Therefore, we established a system that the people would elect representatives, and that power would be limited, power would have checks and balances. That was the wisdom of a biblically minded people that wrote the United States Constitution. So what happened? Happened. What is now happening is all that they did is being undone. Surely you're aware of that. And once again, power is concentrating again to the few. All of a sudden, we have government agencies that aren't even mentioned in our Constitution presuming to have power to tell us what to do, like the CDC. The CDC hasn't any authority, and yet they are taking presumptuously authority that is not theirs. Likewise, our chief executive now writing out executive orders. You will remember, of course, how it was President Obama who said, if I can't get it done with Congress, I've got a phone and I've got a pen. Remember? And now you have every extreme liberal globalist in Congress pressuring our senile president to now just begin to issue executive orders on everything. They want executive orders to change everything. They realize that there's an upcoming election, midterm, and power can be lost, and greedy for that power. Right now, they are putting the pressure on the Biden administration to sign executive orders. And now, of course, because they have been able to accomplish their agenda without the people for our whole lifetime through the Supreme Court, suddenly the balance changed. And now they scream about it, activist court. Now they use the language we used for 50 years. Activist court, and now to them it's become illegitimate. Now the Supreme Court's illegitimate. Everything. Do you understand? It's all being undone. What was produced by a spiritual revival, by knowledge of this book, as this book has been abandoned, and we are now a clearly post-Christian culture, all that was done to spread power out to the many is being undone, power is concentrating, power is being usurped, and now our language has changed, right? It has, our vocabulary has changed. Not since the days that King George III would have his representatives come to these colonial towns and announce, by decree of King George III. Never since the days that we cast off that tyranny, declaring ourselves to be an independent and free nation, never since those days have we used terms like mandates and executive orders. And now all of a sudden, we have executives that claim emergency powers that just suspend representative government and issue edicts. You see, what I'm saying to you, again, I'm telling you, power is concentrating to the few. And it's not just here, it's the whole world. It's worldwide. And power will ultimately concentrate into one man, one guy. It says here, all that dwell upon the earth in the eighth verse shall worship him. They're not just going to like root for him. They're not going to just like vote for him. They're going to swear their allegiance. They'll bow down and worship. They will express their allegiance and their devotion to the whole world. It's an interesting thing in the book of Revelation, the term, those who dwell upon the earth. It's like everything bad imaginable happens to earth dwellers. That's a good reason to not dwell upon the earth when that day comes. In the tribulation, you don't want to be dwelling upon the earth. There is a mass evacuation event. It is the rapture of the church. I'm convinced of it. I believe in it. I believe it's what the scripture teaches. And it is God himself pulling his ambassadors from the world that he's about to judge. The very first act of judgment from God is to remove his ambassadors. All right, so check this out. It says that everyone who dwells upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb from the foundation of the earth. All right, consider this morning. There will be a resistance to this world leader. When power concentrates to the very few and ultimately to the one, there will be a resistance to it. And who are these who resist? Who are these who refuse to worship him? I'll tell you who they are. They are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Book of Life of the Lamb. When was that written? Before the world was made. There was a roll in existence. There's a list of names foreknown by God. God, who would ever know who would receive his son, has always known who would before he even made the world. You understand that God wasn't reacting. God wasn't making up the plan of salvation on the fly. That before he made time, space, and matter, He knew, creating us in his image, giving us free moral agency, we would choose wrong, we would fall. That would grant him the opportunity to save us. And to save us, he would enter creation as a man, live a sinless life, die a sacrificial death, rise from the dead, and through faith in him, we could be saved. That plan was his before he ever said, "Let there be light." There was a role. There's a list of names. And that list still exists even after the church is gone. There are still people in the world. The tribulation saints are those who refuse. And who would do that? Who are those people who would not go with the program? Who would resist and refuse and accept the horrible arrangement that we're going to read about in here? Only those whose names are written. They see through this. They recognize that to do that is to seal their eternal fate. Look at what we read here. It says here in verse 9, oh, by the way, I'm comforted. I am very comforted by the fact that there's a book. There's a scroll that's got names in it. And it wasn't up to me to write my name. I couldn't. It wasn't up to you. Our names were written by the one who knew us before we ever lived. I am greatly comforted by this. Verse 9 says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. That's John writing. If you got an ear, you better tune into this. Verse 10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Tribulation saints are going to be comforted by the fact that this world dictatorship, that this world government is going to be the briefest government in the history of the world. It's actually only going to last for 7 years, and truthfully, it's all fallen to pieces 3.5 years in. God will judge this tyrant, this brutal tyrant, this executioner. He will be dealt with. Verse 11 says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Two horns like a lamb. He was lamb-like in appearance until he opened his mouth. And this lamb-like character is the puppet of the dragon. He spoke like a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Abundantly clear that there will be an assassination attempt on this world leader, and he will survive it. And a world religious leader will use his surviving that to solicit the worship of the whole world and demand and encourage everybody to worship this guy. Look at this. Verse 13 says, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. There's a world religious leader. I'm going to say this again. Said it last week. Four significant world empires prophesied. Babylonian Empire, it happened, was conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire. Persian Empire conquered by the Greek Empire. Greek Empire conquered by the Roman Empire. Who conquered the Roman Empire? Nobody. They still exist. Rome has continued all through the history of the world. Even during other world empires, there is only one religious institution that has an embassy in every nation on earth, only one religious leader. Every single king, emperor, prime minister, dictator has to do business with, and that is the Pope. I am sure that you are aware. I'm going to say again, within the Church of Rome, there are genuine Christians. You'll find them in the lowest ranks, priests, nuns, monks who are living out devotion to Christ, whose faith is in Christ, not in their good works, and many of them are on a mission field, some third world mess, sacrificing themselves, living out a devotion to Christ that is undeniable. The further you rise in the ranks, the more the corruption becomes apparent to Rome itself and its leader, who claims to be vicar of Christ, in place of Christ, spokesman, the one and only unique spokesman. I'll tell you something. The early Christians believed that the emperor of Rome was Antichrist. And they weren't wrong. He was an Antichrist. It was the emperor Nero who ultimately heard the trial of the apostle Paul, heard the gospel from Paul. The historians and people that study the life of Nero, they marvel as if there were two Neros, one pre-Paul and one on the other side of Paul. The first Nero was a decent emperor, had many great accomplishments and achievements. He was very promising. He switched. The Nero that you're familiar with is the Nero who historically, it really epitomizes who he became, the demonized lunatic that would ride his chariot naked, shrieking through his garden, which was illuminated by human torches, which were Christians set on fire. That end of Nero was truly demonic. He was possessed. First Christians had every reason to believe he was Antichrist, and they were not wrong. I say again, he was of the spirit of Antichrist, but there were others. 10 major waves under 10 different emperors, from all the way from Nero to Diocletian, and their brutality was legendary. But they weren't the Antichrist. Later, you should know that in the Protestant Reformation, when people were just trying to come back to the Bible, just trying to live out biblical Christianity, it was the papacy responsible for their torture and their execution. Those reformers had every reason to believe that the emperor of Rome, that the pope, was the Antichrist. They weren't wrong. Their popes were of the spirit of Antichrist. But they were not the Antichrist. There are many Antichrists that have come down through history. Many under the influence of and controlled by the spirit of Antichrist, but the one guy who will fulfill what we're going to read here has never come. And I will submit to you that what we're about to read could not have been fulfilled in any previous generation. For the technology that is required for what we're about to read did not exist until now. There's a world religious leader, and I am absolutely sure he will be among the popes. And surely you don't need me to inform you that the current pope, along with a recent series of them, have been the leaders and trying to pull together a one-world religion. The most ecumenical of any popes that have ever been is the one that is currently in that place now. There are a few. You can find Archbishop Vigano, his writings. In fact, there's a publication called The Remnant that acknowledges the apostasy of the highest offices of the papacy and of the Church of Rome. And they're calling for their pope to repent. This current pope has led all of religious leaders, everybody from the most pagan witch doctor, shaman, even Satan worshipers, to come and offer sacrifices on the altar at the Vatican. They've all been welcomed. There is a pull toward a one world religion, even as there is a pull toward a one world government. You don't need me to inform you, right? You guys all know that these things are happening. There's a world religious leader, and I wouldn't be one bit surprised if he rises to the office of Pope post-rapture, who will actually solicit worship. As it says in that 12th verse, that he has power. He causes everyone who dwelt upon the earth to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And verse 13 says he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of man. My question, and this is a question, it is unresolved for me. I have to wait and see. I realize that there are some supernatural sources of power at work in the world. In the days when Moses confronted Pharaoh and God sent him with a staff, that he could throw down that staff and it became a serpent. Pharaoh had guys on his payroll that could do the same thing and did. They threw down their staffs and they became serpents. Only their serpents got eaten by Moses' serpent. That's cool. They did things that we cannot explain. There are supernatural sources of power that are truly demonic in their origin. But I submit to you that what we are reading here may best be understood by the advanced technology of the day. That those who are involved, if you listen to the speeches of the World Economic Forum leaders, people like Klaus Schwab, who I quoted last week and imitated, you will own nothing and you will be happy. That Klaus Schwab, who's got a creepy dystopian agenda for you, that all humanity will be replaced by machines and computers and supercomputers and artificial intelligence will take over, and the whole crowd of the World Economic Forum have all embraced transhumanism, along with Klaus Schwab's favorite little professor, Yuval Noah Harari, who really believes that we, while there is no God, we are about to become God. That humanity is now ascending, and through technology, we will create new life. We can design it. His favorite little buzz phrase is, organisms are algorithms. Well, that's all. Now that we have supercomputers, we can break down the whole DNA strand. We can replicate. We can engineer life. They got a creepy, spooky agenda, which they're not going to get to actually live out. But I pose this possibility to you, this possibility that this world religious leader is in fact able to call fire down from heaven, but it's deceptive. It is, verse 14, he deceiveth them to dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do. I suspect the use of technology, the use of supercomputers and artificial intelligence together with satellite technology and lasers that fire called down is not going to be like Elijah. It's not going to be like those two witnesses, those two prophets who stand in Jerusalem and they call fire down. I believe it'll be different. And I believe that the advancements in technology is going to play a role in the healing of this fatal wound to the head of this world leader. This religious leader, the 14th verse says, to all who dwell on the earth, that they should make an image. They should make an image to the beast. The world leader should make an image of him. They should make an image. And look at this. Verse 15 says, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause. As many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. This world religious leader, the false prophet, calls for an image. All right, let's just abandon the old notion that an image is just the portrait of the dictator that everybody's supposed to bow to. Let's go beyond a portrait or even beyond a statue. You recognize the agenda of these power brokers. Their investment is all in robotics and artificial intelligence. And they actually believe that they can make a thing come alive. And they have the technology to create a false life. I submit to you that what is actually going to be worshipped, that the image that should be made, is a transhuman replica of the Antichrist, this world leader. And a supercomputer that is no better than those who programmed it. And that supercomputer is the one where I can see the case being made by a world religious leader that we should not act as the judges. We're humans and we're emotionally connected. We should trust that to something much more intelligent than us. We should trust that big decision about the fate of humanity to artificial intelligence. Not difficult then to imagine a supercomputer doing the math based on the data collected and coming to the conclusion everybody's going to go with the program or die. Humanity is threatened by those who won't play along, even as you just witnessed a number of things. In the spring of 2020, did you guys note at the very beginning of the COVID crisis, the UN chief going on the World Wide Web addressing the West and speaking in English, saying, and I quote, "The old rules do not apply anymore." What do you mean by that? He meant national sovereignty. How do you get people to surrender their sovereignty? How do you get nations to do that? How do you get individuals to just surrender their freedoms? You just witnessed it. All you got to do is create a crisis and make them afraid. And people will surrender their sovereignty personally, and their nation will, in the name of freedom. Our nation's founders said plainly, any man who will give up his freedom for safety deserves neither. But that's not who we are anymore, is it? That's not who this nation is anymore. It's not who we are. We're no longer under the influence of this book as a culture. Consequently, we have never been more vulnerable. You watched as two different classes of people were created. You watched this happen. Those who would play along and those who saw through it and would not. And those who would play along were rabid about the mask. Mask, 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 you need a mask. Sir, you need to pull up your mask. Sir, you need a mask. A mask, a mask. And those are the same people who are going to go, "Mark, where's your mark? You need a mark, mark, mark." They'll all be lined up in front of Trader Joe's going, "You can't buy in here without your mark." Same people. You've seen this. Yep. If your objective is to be a tribulation saint, let me just tell you right now, you're not getting anything at Trader Joe's. You're not going to have any Starbucks coffee. You don't take the mark, they're not going to let you into Starbucks. Don't let that be your ambition. Just miss that whole thing, okay? It's always the thought of some carnal church folk. Yeah, I'll do the tribulation. Just won't take the mark. Don't be so sure. Don't gamble. And why? Why would you do that? Just because you're lazy now? You think you're going to be all energetic then? Because your faith is pitiful now? You think it's going to be supercharged then? Don't be so easily deceived now. Whoever the tribulation saints are, I strongly suspect they're not going to be a whole lot of backslidden church kids. Instead, they're going to be people whose names are written in the book of life, but again, they're going to realize, boy, what's going on here? What is going on in the world? Just like what happened here at Calvary, there were all kinds of people who were not necessarily religious, didn't know Christ, but had their eyes open. All of a sudden, tyranny was expanding. They went, wait a minute, what's going on? All of a sudden, they had their eyes open to a truth versus deception. They saw lying, and they saw censorship, and they saw these things. Well, wait a minute, what is going on? I think it's going to happen again on a bigger scale with the rise of the Antichrist, post-rapture. Well, look at this. This image, which is commissioned by the false prophet, it has a form of life. It speaks, it decides, and it issues the sentence that to save humanity, the cancer in humanity has to be cut out. Two classes have to be created. No, it's not going to be the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated. It's going to be the marked versus the unmarked. Verse 16 says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." All right, you guys, I didn't come here today with headlines to throw up on the big screen, showing you what you probably already know, that that technology exists now, the pull toward that technology is real. They're already doing this post-COVID, already in Western Europe. There are states that have already made the vaccine passport an embedded silicon chip. In the same way, the convenience with which you can pull out a chip card and tap and pay, that whole technology is now being pushed that we could all just wave our hand and pay. Just wave your hand. And where are they putting the chip? Is the right hand? When I visited my mother, and I know I'm not making, I realize they're concerned about who might be coming there with a fever, so they got to check your temperature. When you walk in the hospital, a man approaches you to scan your forehead with a laser thermometer. You understand we're on our way to foreheads being scanned for more information than the temperature. That's where this is heading. The right hand or their forehead, and verse 17 says, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So Christians have been spooked out by that series of numbers. They see 666. If you go to the DMV and you go, hey, I got to register my vehicle and get my plates, and they hand you a plate that says got 666 on it. A lot of Christians are like, no, I want different numbers. People are spooked about the numbers unnecessarily. It's like if you get a phone number assigned to you and it's got 666, yeah, people get weird. No reason to be weird. It's not like those are bad numbers. And those are not the devil's numbers, as people wrongly think. It's a man's number. Six is the number of man in biblical numerology. It was seven. Seven means perfection. God labored 6 days, rested the seventh. God instituted the seven-day increment, and it represents completion. Seven is the number of completion or perfection. Man, created on the sixth day, always falls short of perfection. Even if he makes the six, he still falls short of seven. Six is the man's number. And this man, this information right here, is not for you. That information right there is for the tribulation saints. Because this man's name is going to have a numeric value of 666. Now, what does that mean, a numeric value? Well, let's review that again. In both Hebrew and Greek, in their alphabets, every number is assigned a numeric value. So you can add up the total of each of the letters of the name, and you can come up with a numeric total. The total for this character, yet to be revealed, will be 666, the numeric value of his name. But you got to know, in the 70s, there was a revival. You had the charismatic revival together with what we call the Jesus movement. And in those movements here in America, sweeping across the country, there was a revival in the interest in Bible prophecy and faith in the coming of the Lord. I maintain that doctrines that had been long forgotten and long abandoned were returned to. Doctrines that were held by the original Christians with regard to the rapture, tribulation, all of that. But at the same time, there was all kinds of silliness associated with it. All kinds of people not getting certain things, and they were fixated on 666. And they're constantly looking for the Antichrist. I remember when some said, it's Kissinger. I don't know how they came up with that. And there were others who went, wait a minute. Ronald Wilson Reagan. Six letters in each of those three names. Oh, and then there was an assassination attempt. And I remember all the Christians that particular day going, was it a head wound? Was he shot in the head? No, he wasn't shot in the head. No, he wasn't the Antichrist. And his name does not have the numeric value of 666. He was a man. He served as president. I think he was a decent president. I enjoyed him. Flawed though he was, as a human, and all humans are, every time there's an election, We get to pick which of our fellow sinners we would entrust power to. And that one, I think he did good with it. I miss Reagan. I have had the privilege of being in Poland in what was built to be a communist utopia, a city built by the communist. And when the Soviet Union dissolved, they renamed the square of that town. I've been blessed to stand there at that square. I was there with Mike Huckabee and Dennis Prager. And they renamed that Ronald Reagan Square. That was cool. It was cool because Reagan played his part in pushing the Soviet Union in its arms race until they failed and broke financially and dissolved. And for the decades since, freedom, there was an opportunity. Iron Curtain came down and the gospel was able to go in. I got friends who are pastoring in Russia, friends who went into Ukraine, all over the place, in Poland, all over the place where the communists had previously kept all the Christians out. Well, I thank the Lord he used Reagan for that. But people have always been weird. Christians have a tendency to be weird about 666 and about the Antichrist. But I say to you again, quit looking for him, because you ain't going to see him. I am absolutely convinced of what the Apostle Paul laid out for us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, the Apostle Paul said, there is one who restrains this Antichrist from being revealed, and he will continue to restrain until he is taken out of the way. Singular masculine pronoun, he. Is that a reference to the church? No. The church is she. She's the bride of Christ. But he, the Holy Spirit, was given as a gift to the church, and it's the Holy Spirit at work in the church that is the restraining force that keeps Antichrist from being revealed. So quit looking for him. You should be looking for Jesus Christ. You're looking for mass evacuation, looking for Christ to come for his church. In conclusion, this morning, I want to again present to you the reality that while earlier Christians believed they were looking at their emperor who was the Antichrist, or their pope, or their dictator, well, they were looking at an Antichrist, the Antichrist, couldn't have come. The technology for everything right here required in this prophecy has never existed until right now. And now it exists. Not only does it exist, there is the push worldwide. There's nobody who's been more aggressive than Bill Gates. I got to tell you, I find myself chuckling every now and then at thinking about Bible prophecy, one world government, and the pull toward it. And whoever imagined back when you were a kid hearing all these prophecies that there'd be a guy named Bill behind the scenes involved and trying to make it happen, and that everybody needs a number. The whole world needs a number. The technology for everything that we just read exists now. The tribulation period, it is an image. I want to point out to you that it's an image that gives the order that those who do not worship the beast or receive his image should be executed. It is an image that causes everyone to receive a mark. And it's an image that says nobody can buy or sell unless they've got it. Surely you don't have a hard time believing that that can happen in this world now. What does it take for power to concentrate? What does it take to get people to give up their personal sovereignty and their national sovereignty? Fear. All it takes is a crisis, manufactured or real. Get a crisis, scare everybody. They will surrender and they will obey. They will comply for the promise of safety. You've seen it happen. Now they lament that the COVID crisis is sort of waning. They hate that. All the little Faucis, little Lord Fauci hates that he's losing this. He hates that people aren't having to mask up to get on a plane. But he's got to be pleased that there are people that still will. The next crisis they're capitalizing on, of course, is the environmental crisis. They've been working on that one for a while. They have so terrified the students in our public school system that they have jacked the suicide rate up. Our kids are killing themselves out of despair because the world is doomed and people won't cooperate. There's a whole generation of Gretas out there screaming emotionally, "How dare you?" You should know that right now another crisis is being created. Surely you know that. It is economic and it's worldwide. And in order to make it happen, you got to break the United States economy. And there are people in our government working to make that happen. All you got to do is order people to poverty, order people to house arrest. They can't work. All of them. You guys understand what's going on. And surely you're aware of all of the food processing plants that have suddenly, coincidentally, at the same time, been destroyed. Two of them on one occasion. What are the laws of probability that planes would crash separately and crash into food processing plants? You understand the food shortage is being generated. And there are people in our government who are cooperating with this. All of that, world economy and food and all of this, is being orchestrated to create another big crisis. With that crisis, they can translate it to fear, and fear translates to political power. And I'm telling you, power in the world you live in right now is concentrating to the few. I'm just telling you. What happened here? America happened, and America affected the entire world. America is not what it once was. It's no longer under the influence of this book. And consequently, power is being usurped. Presidents now act like dictators. They ignore Congress. They even ignore the Supreme Court. And they just do what they want. And they issue their edicts, and their edicts go unchallenged. Don't be shocked. This is what's happening. This is the course that the world is taking. I'm not saying we shouldn't be involved. I'm not saying we shouldn't vote. And we should be involved in vote and practice stewardship. Don't just throw up your hands and go, "Oh, well, the Antichrist is coming," and give up. That's not my message. I believe as long as the church is here, we should be a wrench in the works. As long as we are here, we should be standing for what America has always stood for. We should be holding it off. But ultimately, where is it all heading, man? Where is it all going? I see where it's going. I see where it's heading. And I don't live in dread of a coming Antichrist. I live in the thrill of a coming Christ, the true Christ.